79,000, so roughly we are out by 24,000.
So the issue here is that the total cost of the lifting of St. Stephen's Church was 169,000?
Yeah, 500.
Okay, and the total amount, if we receive all of the funding from the grant, total funding, 161,000, that's if we receive every dollar of that funding, which I question that we will, because there's some items in there that may not be applicable. So we're gonna be short possibly 30,000. So 169,000, we're already 8,000 short, and if we don't get the full funding of the 161,000, we might be short another possibly 30,000. So what is the total amount that we had in the historical church reserve funds that we're drawing this 169,000 plus 70, about 70,000 plus another 70,000, so another 140, $300,000. I just wanna see that we have that allocated in the budget somewhere.
I don't have reserves with me, so I can't tell you anything about reserves right now, but then obviously we are short on the St. Stephen Church. As of now, the body foundation, 169, so 100,000 right there. We have 100,000 of room in the St. Stephen. And if you're going to use 70,000 for this project, so roughly 30,000 left over.
So from the reserves that we have, total reserves, you know, for the historical church projects, that's what we need to see, is we need to see what the total amount that we have available for these two projects currently in reserve and budgeted for, because we have to come up with the money somewhere. So it's a good time to do that now, to determine where that money's coming from, before we award a tender.
So on the next council meeting, I'll be presenting the amendment to the budget. That time I can present the, you know, the balance of the reserves and all the amounts.
Yeah, it's interesting, because obviously a couple of us come into this late, when you started these two projects. And my understanding was that there were some strong proponents to renovate these churches, and I even questioned at the time, you know, what is the future use of the churches, other than, and if they are going to be restored, and my understanding is that some people sitting right at this table had ideas for the future of use, and costs didn't arise at that point. And I'm not sure about this grant, the situation. I was concerned a bit when it wasn't used just for the foundation. I mean, if you split the grant in two, and yet the grant itself looked like it was a one-time grant. But I went with the, you know, the previous council that had thought that you can split it, and that, I mean, if we're in a situation now where this is too much, then maybe St. Stephen sits as is, and that we don't go any further. And especially now, if you're raising concerns about not receiving the whole grant, then, yeah, they are concerns. But I know you were a strong proponent to have these projects done. At what point, I guess, do we say it's too much? We can't do them.
Well, these projects have been in the works for quite a few years, and we've never had the opportunity for any grant funding. And we were very fortunate that grant funding, once-in-a-lifetime opportunity grant funding came forward for this. And we've looked at this, and we hemmed and we hawed, and when the original tenders went out, now when we look back, they were cheap. You know, one quarter of what the these current tenders that are coming forward at. Unfortunately, the way that the grant proposal was put in, it included refurbishment of windows and painting of the siding. So those are two components that, you know, that fulfill the obligations of the grant proposal.
So if you don't do those things, you won't get the grant?
Well, then that's a very strong possibility that you know, those were put into the grant proposal, and those are the expectations to fulfill them, so.
Yeah, from what I'm reading from Rojan's report is 2023 capital budget of $269,000 for St. Stephen's, and then of course with the foundation, which I was just there yesterday, and it's actually complete and looks really good. So, as Rojan's saying here, leaves $100,000 remaining in the budget. So I kind of was assuming, well, then this price for the refurbishment of windows and siding at $79,000 that we should be fine, and that we should have some money left over. Is that not what I'm reading here?
That's what I'm reading here too.
That's not a doom and gloom scenario from what I'm reading. And that I'm quite excited that if we get the two projects done, that council wants to come have a look at St. Stephen's, and if we have any money left over at all, and see, you know, we should try to utilize the whole grant. There is, you know, a couple of other minor things that we could look at doing, and then when you mentioned about future uses, I think future uses, it would complement this facility whenever people rent it for a wedding, that we include a brochure saying that that church is available to hold weddings at, because once it's done, it's going to look fantastic, and I think it's going to be easy to market and include in some sort of rental fee going forward. I think it's just a wonderful asset, and it's just great, like Mike said, to get that grant for to fix that facility up. So anyways, as Rojan can do, confirm all the numbers for the next meeting, and we can kind of look at it and determine if we can do much else going forward, and include the Hemlock update also at the same time.
So you'd have no problem with, I'm not asking how you're going to vote, but to not hold up the project, is that what you're saying?
Well, if
or do you want to defer?
I want to get all of the grant amount,
right.
But as far as holding the project up, I don't know if they plan on starting right away, like if you want to defer this. Well, I guess we can accept the report, right? So,
but it's got a two-parter to it.
Yeah, motion also,
right.
To accept the...
Right.
Whoa,
that. Yeah, I believe the tender has, it's like 90 days.
Oh, so it's 90 days, we have lots of time.
And Northern View Construction is now currently working on Hemlock for the siding, so they do those projects, so they would not be starting St. Stephen's anytime soon.
Right.
And they would have to order windows... So deferring this for a meeting would not hold up anything.
It's probably most likely going to be on their schedule for probably next year anyway.
I would assume so, because we had the grant construction date moved to, it has to be completed
to
by the end of June.
Yeah, so if council wants to wait for 2 weeks for Rojan to come give us a report, even prior to the council meeting, if you can, and we'll be clear on our decision that we're not overspending.
Yeah, we just heard both sides. It might be, and you're saying we're not, we're under.
I felt financially devastated there for a second.
Well, it's Councillor Kekkonen's motion. Did you want to defer this?
Not if council wants to wait till the next council meeting, and it's not holding up the project at this point in time, then just so that we can move forward and have real numbers.
Yeah, figures.
Yeah, I don't see any harm in waiting the 2 weeks. I was going to be in favor, but let's defer it and make sure we have all the facts.
Okay, call for deferral then. All those in favor? None opposed? Thank you. Okay, public speaks. I assume it's about St. Stephen's.
Yep.
No?
No.
Oh.
Craigmore Road. We're all here from 5:30. Is there any way that we could do that instead?
We were told the meeting was at 5:30. We've been here since.
Yeah, well, the trouble, unless, well, council can. I mean, it's on our agenda. We can move things around if you wish. But, I'll put it up to council. Where are we on the list here? 21-1?
Yeah.
So if council is agreeable, we would we can move 21-1 up to after 17.3.
That's right.
Yes, I have no problems with it.
I'm in favor.
Yeah.
We need a resolution to do that, or we just can just do it?
Hope not. That might take half an hour.
Yeah. Okay, now if you're all agreeable, that's fine.
Yep.
So we're on to, just have to get the paperwork here.
21-1.
Fellow told us earlier that we're all quite happy about this. That's cool. I'm banking on that.
So we have resolution 23-690, moved by Councillor Ryland, second by Councillor Haskam. Be resolved, Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar, to hereby give bylaw number 2023-73, being a bylaw to impose charges on property owners in a designated area, Craigmore subdivision, for the provision of road upgrades by the Township of first and second reading. Further read a third time and passed at open council the 7th day of November 2023. Open it up to discussion of council first, and then open it up to the public too, because I'm sure you have some comments. And there are some, we've seen the bylaw itself, and we've had some correspondence certainly since that went out to the in the agenda package. And so my suggestion at this point would be to hear the comments, not only from the email, but from the public tonight, and do a couple of readings of the bylaw, and to save the third reading. We just want to be on the same page here. If we have to make any changes to the bylaw, it's a little complicated to make the changes right tonight. And I'm thinking two readings, and I'll turn it over to Carly or your opinion on that. I mean, we've done that a number of times with bylaws.
Yes, yeah, that's fine. We can have a first and second reading tonight, and then if any changes are to be made, we can have them for the next meeting of council to have the third reading, or if council needs two meetings, that's okay. The bylaw's already been to the solicitor for a comment.
Right.
So now we would just be receiving comments from the public.
Yeah, okay. So I'll put it to council first of all, and as you say, we've already got the solicitor's opinion on it, and that's why it's sitting as is. But what I'm hearing from emails is that isn't necessarily what was promised a few years ago when it was all started. And so had a couple of the issues that seemed to come up with the number of properties. One person had said that it shouldn't be 39, it should be 35. I think that was the original, but that would mean each group would pay more, except the person talking about it, I think, was concerned that he owned three of the properties. So anyway, we have to decide that, whether it should be 35, 39, and we also talked about township properties as well, because the two township properties there, and whether that should be included in the list. So it might even be a 41. There was also a question about the repayment time and whether it should be, I think it's reduced now to 5 years as the maximum. Maybe Roshan can speak to this later. But I think when it first went out there, there were options for longer than that. And that's what we have to get clear, I guess, what was originally promised. And rather than change, it's the same with, we ran in before with Bailey's subdivision. Whether or not it was a previous council that made those decisions and the public was counting on that, and that's what they based a lot of their opinions on, and whether they agreed or not to it. So we're not about to change what was promised to them. We just want to clarify what was promised and whether that should be in the bylaw as opposed to the way the bylaw reads now. So I don't know whether the council, maybe the people who live there, have a better idea of what they filled in the ballot and the options that they were provided, changes they'd like to see in the bylaw. But I will start with council. Councillor Ryan.
I spent some time on this afternoon. The ballots that were distributed, I inherited a bunch of files from a variety of sources. One of the things that's clear to me in terms of the number, first of all, the number as shown on the map, I guess, that Carly provided to us, the two township properties are included in the 39. So it wouldn't be 41.
No, they're not included now, she said.
They're included in the count that you have on the map, Carly.
No, the two township-owned properties are not included in the 39. If they were to be included, it would be 41 properties.
Okay.
I've just marked the township properties on the map.
You're right,
so
yeah. It's hard to read. Anyway, okay, I guess you're right, because certainly over here it's not a number, so. Okay. But from the ballot and a report that was written, I believe, by Don Carmichael after the effect, there was a meeting held with the owners on the road on Thanksgiving in 2019. And in the words that I inherited from John, sorry, I got the wrong file here, but the discussion revolved around whether it's the number of properties is not the issue. Based on, and I obviously wasn't there, so I don't have any firsthand knowledge of it. The exact words that were used was that the owners agreed to share the costs equally amongst the number of driveways. And I don't know if any of you recall that or have a different recollection of it. And that number, therefore, for somebody like Mr. Prentice, would be one rather than three in his case. So he'd have a 1/35th share as opposed to a 3/39th share. I think that's what it boils down to. He prepared a memo on the 9th of February 2020, long before I was on council, and he comes out and said, at your community meeting on 2019 Thanksgiving weekend, a large majority of attendees wanted an equal cost sharing option. Essentially, every driveway, and he's got that in quotation, pays the same amount. Introducing fees and charges, which is what we've got now, but it seems to me that at least to address the concerns raised by Mr. Prentice, that seems to have been agreed. I did speak to Don this morning, I think, and that's his recollection as well. But again, I wasn't there, so I don't know. I don't know if you have a strong feeling either. I'm not really asking the question. I can, you know, ask you if I can ask that question just to the attendees that are here to see if that's what it is, because it does have a material impact, not thousands, but, you know, hundreds of dollars, I guess, that they might have to pay. So there's that kind of issue anyway. In terms of my other question then on this would also be, if we are excluding the township, I mean, it has no cost recovery impact, because, I mean, the township paying a charge to the township ends up a net of zero anyway. I think that's right.
But it would be more to divide by, so it would be less for each property owner.
Okay, yeah, so that's fair. Yeah.
And I'm not sure if there are driveways necessarily into the township property. But, and again, I'm not about to change or suggest we change what we want, but it strikes me as odd, because driveway is a way of deciding, because if they're conveyable lots, they just haven't put a driveway in yet. And I'm thinking those people are benefiting from the road, certainly, and they could easily put a driveway in, they just haven't.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if it shouldn't be the actual property description as it's drawn up.
But to go further back to your question about whether or not it was promised, and again, I wasn't there, so I can't say firsthand, I think it wasn't so much as promised as discussed. And certainly the same general offer that was made to people in the Bailey subdivision was like an equal share and everything else. And I do have copies of the ballots. I don't have copies of the ballots. I have a summary of the ballots. I've never actually, well, I have a blank copy of the ballots as well, but I've never seen those. I don't know if the township would have those in a file. But I don't know, again, it was offering some choices and asking the owners of the lots to make a choice of did they want this, that, or the other. And I think that's what the understanding was. And then there was a meeting held on the Thanksgiving in 2019. And then Don had documented a 3-page memo. It's quite lengthy on kind of what was discussed and agreed. I don't know, and neither did Don, was that memo ever distributed. It was produced in February of 20, whatever I just said, whatever year that was. And again, the question would be to those of you here, have you ever seen that memo before? It's, like I said, it's a fairly lengthy one, frankly. So,
but this is the first I've heard of driveways. It's rather interesting. Even with Bailey's, yeah. I never heard of driveways. I didn't know
how
to split up.
I hadn't either. I read this today and thought, wow, so that's different. But then I did that because of the email from Mr. Prentice just asking about this. And I thought, well, let's see if I have anything. So I read through a lot of papers.
But I'm even trying to recall what he wrote. I don't remember the word driveway in his email, but it may have been.
Yeah. But however, I mean, I have the memo here, yeah. But I mean, it's not like signed or anything. It's just a memo with some details, and I went through and found some interesting things. And frankly, the other thing that struck me about this is that at that time, before the work had been completed, he estimated the cost, or somebody estimated the cost, at $103,000. That's not bad, considering the final ones were $107,000.
That's something we have to discuss as well. But we've got the report, and as I said, I'm not about to change that. But
no.
Other councilors, before we go public,
sure.
Maybe other councilors, any opinions on this? I certainly want the public to suggest if they think there should be changes to that bylaw. But
wait to hear from the
public. Okay, yeah. Public, great. If you're willing to come up and use the microphone, you've got the bylaw. I think it was in the agenda package, so.
I don't have the agenda package.
Oh, okay.
Leanne Tebow. When that meeting was held at my house, it was actually so that they didn't go by road frontage.
Right, right.
Because the one property owner owns a bunch of vacant lands that he never plans on developing. Mm-hmm. So we didn't want him to get hit with the non-lakeside.
Yeah.
So that was divided up equally amongst us there.
Yep.
Right?
Yep, and I think that stays
I think that was the thought. When it, I don't remember driveway per se,
mm-hmm.
but most of the lots do have driveways.
Sure.
Right?
Mm-hmm. There's a few that don't.
There's a few that don't, apparently, but, yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
I'm interested, too, in the payback time, because that was a concern, I think, in one of the emails.
Have
I have paper.
Get back up there.
I think I have the ballots that we filled in, a copy of the ballot.
I have a blank copy of the ballot.
Yeah, I have a blank copy of the ballot.
Yeah.
And it, this one says option two was 10-year or 15-year. Is that what you remember?
Yeah.
At that time, there was no mention of interest in it, but then when I looked at your Bailey agreement, you gave them up to 20 years.
We did.
Why would Craig Moore be different than the other road?
Yeah. Well, Dr. Treasurer here.
And you gave them less interest rate, a lower interest rate as well. So...
But interest rates have changed a great deal since the Bailey stuff was done, though, right? Not since the road was done, but since that period. I mean, just simply inflation that's happened in the last year.
Since June to now. Because Bailey was done, when did you assume the road at Bailey? In June.
Yes, but nevertheless, the cost recovery, though, was much earlier than that. The cost recovery, I think, was about a year before. Is that right, Rashawn? In other words, I think roughly in the summer of 2022.
The bylaw was passed in December 2021, and the cost recovery started in April 2022.
Right. That's just a vague memory of mine. But so, in other words, the interest rates themselves, you know, set by the Bank of Canada, changed in that interval. Right. It's not because
I'm a little confused on what you were saying to me. The cost recovery.
Yes. In other words, what we're proposing...
Not from the property owners.
Yes. The cost recovery from the Bailey subdivision, I believe, was in the summer of 2022. In other words, they paid their share in a similar way to what we have here for Craigmore.
I don't think they did. I think they paid their share this summer.
This June.
No.
Last year. They started paying it last year.
Yeah. They made their payment selection and paid at that time, and the interest rates at that time were dramatically lower than they are today. But
yes,
they,
I would agree with that. Yes.
Okay.
But I know some that kind of told me they paid this year. So that's why I'm confused. Maybe my information's wrong.
Well, that's possible. They were late paying.
Yeah, Katie.
Okay. So one of the options is to pay the full amount right away. So do you have a percentage of individuals, say in the Bailey situation, that paid the whole portion at once, or is there a percentage that paid it over 5 years, 10 years, and do you recall approximately what that payback per agreement was?
So just like at this bylaw, I have given the same condition to the Bailey subdivision, that if they pay full amount, they have to pay by the March of that year.
Mm-hmm.
And after April, if they don't select, then by default, it means they have selected option first, which means that they have to pay full amount. So by March 31st last year, they given me the option, and there was, I would say, 30% at least to 40% of people paid upfront or paid in within time frame, and many people selected the options, like there was a 5 year, 10 year, 15 year option. And to the question about the why Bailey got the 15 years, 20 years, term compared to the gray boards, that, you know, the I didn't know about the ballot has been sent to the Craigmore, because initially I thought the only ballots were sent to the Berry. That's what that bylaw was done based on that ballot. And again, you know, the this whole scenario now changed. There was, you know, interest rate, and obviously Craigmore got the more time compared to their Berry, because Craigmore completed in summer 2020.
I think 2022.
I didn't move
here until
21. So by the time, you know, the option, you know, the recovery process started would be almost 2 years. So they got the grace period of 2 years, and after that, they have to select the whatever the option they have to pay.
So there's nothing wrong with if we do two readings that you could change that to a 20-year.
I can change it. It's up to the council decision,
right.
But then whatever the council decides. But I'm thinking, as I mentioned in the last council meeting, is that $2,700, like if you go and do your driveway, it will cost more than paying the cost of this one. So, you know, obviously from the township point of view, I would like to recover the money as soon as possible. and it's up to the council.
Yeah, it's good to hear again from the public whether that option is out there that you want. As you say, I mean, $2,700 to one person, not the same as to another person. So, whether they want that option to do it a different way, I mean, there's nothing wrong with putting it in there. I guess, as you say, the township would prefer to have it up front so we can give more money to the pool or wherever we put it. But I guess the other question that you probably want to answer, I'm not sure we can answer it, but they are a little different scenarios. As Councillor Ryland said, I think they were paying already a certain percentage, 30-40%, as you said, for Bailey's, and then it was assumed. Now we're in a situation here where no money's been paid, I don't think, from Craigmore, and when the assumption date's going to be. So I guess that's another thing we have to consider. Do we need money in here before it's assumed, or if it's up to a certain standard approved by the engineer, as was done in Bailey's, an engineer went in and inspected, then when do we assume? Before we get any money? Or, I mean, they got the same two-year period, was it?
They did, but you need to understand that the inspection has already been done the same day on Bailey's
on
as
Bailey's.
It was done on Craigmore. The same day in both places by the same people, including Greg and including Ryan Manning.
So I haven't seen Craigmore's, have I?
Well, perhaps you misunderstood it, but that same document, the report from Tatum,
right.
Signed by Ryan, confirms that he did an inspection on both those subdivision roads, or the
okay,
total
no,
of two of them.
If we've got that, and all we were waiting for, which we never did get, is a signed form from an engineer.
Yeah.
Right. We had it from the tech person instead.
Agreed.
And Greg knew about that for the last few months. And we still don't have it from the table.
But on the basis we use that to assume Bailey's, then...
Oh,
again,
I know what you're
yeah,
saying, yeah.
Yeah, that's
no, that's good. That's good to know, because I wasn't
yeah.
sure the engineer had, if it's both in the same report, that's fine. Councillor Zula.
No, I'm just scratching.
Can I have something else just from the ballot summary that I have, and again, I didn't produce it, I simply have it. It shows me that the one-time payments selected from the ballots from the folks on Craigmore, there was 10 people that said they would make a one-time payment. In other words, in accordance with the bylaw that we're talking about here, that would be next March, that you would pay the whole thing without interest, without anything, just a one-time payment of $2,744. And the other, hold on a second here, 15 people selected a finance option. That doesn't say which one they selected, but I mean, and again, that from my point of view, and I'm trying to be absolutely fair on this, is just that this wasn't necessarily a selection that bound you to it or bound us to it. This is saying, this is what we're proposing that we would do, and you would make your selection. And again, I have no, personally, just speaking for myself, I have no objection to offering a longer term if you want. But I mean, if you were to pay on the five-year plan, just for the record, take the $2,744, you would pay quarterly, and that would be 20 payments of $137. So I'm going to want everybody to understand that. In other words, that would pay, there would be some interest added to that too, and I don't know how much, but it'd be a few hundred dollars maybe. But but it doesn't amount to a great deal of money. So I don't think it would pose a hardship. I'm not trying to speak for anybody's financial situation, but if you understand it in that context, I think it's quite a reasonable way to do it. And again, that's up to you to decide, not up to me, in terms of what's acceptable to you. So,
Councilor Hassan?
Yeah, and I guess, Rojan, I guess if a property owner decides to go with the 5, 10, or 15, if council decides, which I would be in favor of lengthening it, in case some people need that, if at any time they want to pay the whole amount off, well, then it's paid off, and they don't continue on paying interest
in
that.
They can pay off any time.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes?
I'll be short. My understanding is that assuming this bill, and this process began a long time ago, with, as you know, the plan to assume Schedule A roads.
I guess we should get your name, too.
Oh, I'm Diane Thompson. I'm your contact.
Okay.
My understanding is that assuming the road is not contingent on receiving the money from billing us, is contingent on some payment, but more importantly, a final inspection. Has that been done?
Well, apparently, yes. So that's what we have to confirm looking at that letter.
Yes.
There is a final inspection.
It was done the same time
as Bailey's.
It was done in the spring of this year, I believe. I think in May of 2023, with Greg Gostick and with a representative from Tatum, the engineering company. Right? And there is some issue about whether he has the qualification to make that statement. Nonetheless, that's what was done, and we have that on file.
So are we hung up on something there, or can we assume that we can go ahead with assuming the road?
Speaking for myself, I'm not hung up on those things at all. But I mean, I can't say what council would do. But
yeah, no, I think, as you say, we've already made a decision with Bailey's, and going with this report that came in from Ryan from Tatum. So
yeah.
I can't see why we would change that, but
yeah.
Councilor Hassan?
Well, I was just going to say I don't see any reason why we couldn't start the process for assumption of the road. If that's a hang up with any property owner saying, well, I'm not committing to spending any money because it's not assumed yet. So I would almost say let's start the process of getting it assumed, and I believe it's March before anybody has to agree on paying or how long you're going to pay. So, but I say I would be in favor of starting the process of assuming the road as soon as we can.
Sure. And that is important to note that the first payment of any kind that we would expect would be at the end of March next year. Okay, so I mean, whether you chose a one-time payment or a financing option, you don't have to do that. Well, we would have to receive it by the end of March next year, I'll say that. But your option, that is. I'm not saying something else, just that you would have to make your own choice as to what option you want.
Me personally,
yeah.
My biggest thing was I want to know that you're going to assume my road.
Yeah.
I will continue to be plowed. It'll be maintained by McKellar Township. And that is my concern with being here. I want to see that, not an assumed roadside gone off of my road.
Right.
Okay? If I got insurance of that, I feel good.
Yeah. Well, I believe the process is we will continue to maintain the road through this winter, and hopefully before winter's over, we'll have the legal documents in place saying it is assumed, and so I would say we'll start that process right away.
Council had already agreed to plow your roads this winter.
Yes, but I'm under no obligation to continue to do so. That was
no. Now that's I know that was a frightening thing, but that was the original way back in 2009 and 10, just there for. It's been in place for over a decade, and it's never been said no to anybody. It's always been done, and it's just sort of it's legalese, actually, because it's something that you're not forced to. Although a solicitor may come along and say you've been doing it for so many years, so yes, you have to continue, but that was never really questioned. So, but it's been done, and I think what happened got people upset probably is that was drawn out of an old resolution, and that resolution was changed over the years, and that part was left out. So we just put that in again. It wasn't to frighten anybody or raise any conspiracy theories. So I think what Councillor Haskell is saying is correct. The only thing I don't know about the third reading here, because I think the amount may change depending, again, on what kind of properties we come up with. So the 2,700 figure may not stay at that. It might be 2,500, I don't know, it might be 2,900. So we'll have to work on that for the third reading to see what it actually comes out to. And whether we go with driveways or actual properties that are conveyable.
True. Yeah, and nobody answered the question. Do any of you recall the number of driveways as opposed to the number of properties being discussed?
Hi, I'm Cheryl Saunders. I'm Mike Bragmore as well. I moved here in 2021, so this is all new to me. When I moved here, I didn't get a choice in any of this. It's fine. Going forward, moving forward, we have encountered from going through old papers, housing. It was going to be defined by houses. It was going to be defined by driveways. And I guess my concern is it houses, driveways, or vacant land? Because there is vacant land there, properties that don't have driveways. So are they going to be part of the 39 or... I don't have a map, so that's my concern.
Yeah, again, it's something council will have to discuss prior to the third reading, but my feeling is being that if it's conveyable land, then and that person's going to benefit, that some of this vacant land may be actually divided into two or three lots, but they're only paying for one lot. And so they get benefits as well, even though they haven't put a driveway in. Councillor Cuckin?
There is a comment online as well.
Okay.
Someone wants to read that.
So it's from Joanne. I do not agree with the division by driveways. A few new owners here, and I believe, like taxes, it's by road frontage. The division should be, or square meters owned. Future owners may change on bigger lots. As an example, my lot was one of four that was part of one family at one time.
Yeah, the one thing with that, we've decided to not go by road frontage. We're going by equal payment, and it's sort of a separate municipal fees and charges bylaw. Yes, you need a microphone. Not sure if you want parties.
You know, they can't get off. I think the mayor has the right idea, only I wouldn't call it conveyable parties or properties. I would call it the go by roll numbers.
Which we've done, yes.
Yeah, I don't think you can go by PIN number. But you can't decide future consents because of bigger properties because you have no idea whether they'd be permitted or not.
Right. Yeah. So it'd be one property, yes.
Yeah, so by roll number.
Which I think in this map that was provided to us tonight, that's what's done.
So every property that fronts on the road, basically, then will pay a share.
Yeah, probably don't have this, right? But the list here is by roll number for them. So, I mean, that's how they got to the 39. Okay.
Excuse me, this is Bruce Prentice. I'd like to say something.
Yes, go ahead.
That big 15-acre bush in the middle of all those roads.
Yes.
It would be one roll number, and that property basically has almost no value. It's basically swamp and bush. It drains by a creek through my lakefront property into the lake. But I don't see why any portion of the road improvement should be paid on that piece of property.
Okay, I was just trying to think back to the McKellar Lake Road subdivision back in the late 80s. We did have some property in there at the time, too. It was given a special name, and they weren't charged because it was undevelopable. And they had a special name for it. And it's rather interesting because more recently I see that they were selling it off. But that was their way back then, too, the saying that you could never develop it.
I would invite anybody to come out and look at that piece of property that's in the middle of the subdivision. And I would also point out one of those roll numbers is actually on the other side of Burnett's Road and not actually in the Craigmore subdivision itself.
We'll confirm that, yes, right?
If the council decided to exempt that property, the easy way to do it is place it in a non-development zone, the zoning bylaw.
Who does the placing, though?
amendment to the bylaw, the council does an amendment, I don't know who pays for it.
Well, that'd be a concern, because if somebody's benefiting from that, then should they not be paying? But that's a consideration for before Thursday's reading, yes. Okay. Yep.
Oh, thanks. If I can just add a little bit of history. Originally, one family owned this entire subdivision and has been sold off piece by piece. And under,
well,
I think
that family still owns
most of it. Most of it, yes. I believe at one point it was discussed under the Local Improvements Act that the proportion of payment is done by frontage.
Right.
And we realized that this family was going to be, and we got paying 80% of the cost of the road improvement, and that was why we agreed that we would do it by property rather than by frontage.
Yeah.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a selection, or at least a determination made by the residents or the owners on the road, not by the council, right?
Yes.
Which is why we decided to do, well, fees and charges, number one, which is the exact thing we have in front of us, as well as an equal share. The question now, I guess, boils down to an equal share of properties, of, you know, and all the rest. So those things can still be determined, and I don't have a strong opinion. I know it's an issue for Mr. Prentice, and it sounds logical, I mean, but that doesn't mean.
I point out the council, no roads would need to be there if my grandfather had not built it, so.
Okay.
With no support from the township.
But the way this was handled was basically a majority vote by the owners on the road, and that's very clear to me, and that was also.
And it was, and I agree with it, and I am not opposed to it. I'm very happy that they got it done under budget. My only concern is paying on the swamp frontage.
Okay, thank you. Put it to council for an amendment there to two readings instead of the third. Is, you want to go with that? Maybe a few changes to make to the bylaw?
Yeah.
And Groshank can come up with a different pay period as well and put that in. Does that answer most of your questions, or do you have more?
I'm good.
Okay.
And I'm just wondering also if we should ask if council wants to direct staff to start the process,
yes, okay,
of assuming the road.
Yes, please.
Should that be a separate resolution, though, rather than
problems?
Yes.
Because this is for the bylaw. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So.
I just need your initials.
So we could even do that resolution at our next council meeting, because it's not like it's rushed to assume the road. I'm sure it'll go along easy enough. So,
yeah, truthfully, as long as it's done by next March, is really what matters, right?
So I wouldn't say rush into some resolution.
Did Nick sign that?
Nick needs to initial.
Oh, Nick.
I don't know what I did with my pen. There it is.
Okay, so that's been amended to for two readings, and the third will be held over. Call the first and second reading. I think I've already read that one, right?
Can I just ask one other question?
Okay.
I was very uncertain about the paragraph under the title on page two, on apportionment. I, for the life of me, and I've read it probably six or seven times, I don't understand what this is trying to deal with or exactly what practical impact it has. And I don't know if anybody here does.
Well, let's speak to the author. I'm not the author, so we'll see where it came from and see if we can have an answer to it.
Okay.
Came from the other solicitor, so.
Solicitor?
She's the author.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
But, I mean, I've read it, and I understand the words, but I don't understand what it's trying to deal with or how this would be applied. And I don't think we need to do that right now. As long as we fix it before the third reading, we could do it at that point. Is that true? Is that fair?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, so if
could
we
be.
Wanted to delete the whole thing or modify it some, we can still do it before third reading.
Yeah,
right?
I think.
Yeah,
prior
so
to
we can leave it for the time being, because truthfully, I just don't understand it. I did have a brief conversation with Roshan about this earlier today, too, because I don't know what it means or what it's meant to deal with. Right.
Well, then,
so,
yes, I think we can do that before third. Prior to deleting it, though,
yeah,
I think we want to talk to the solicitor.
Oh, absolutely.
Why she put it in.
Yeah, no, I'm not proposing we delete it. I'm just saying I don't understand it, and I'd like to understand what it means.
Yeah,
so.
Fair enough. So we'll call the question then with two readings. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried.
You're welcome.
And hopefully we can get that third reading for the next meeting and everything resolved by then.
Thank you, folks.
Thanks for coming out.
Yep.
Good night.
Thank you.
No problem.
So does that become 17.3A or something like that then?
No? Still 21. Still
okay.
Out of order.
Okay.
So 17.4. Okay. We have resolution 23-691, moved by Councillor Ryan, second by Councillor Haskin. Be resolved the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar has hereby received report T-2023-13. Budgetary control report for the 9 months ending September the 30th, 2023, from Treasurer Roshan Kentia for information purposes. Discussion? And I don't know whether we need Roshan up there, maybe there are particular things, but I think if you read through it in detail, it, as he said in his introduction, it looks like a pretty good report right now, the budget, the way it's sitting. And there may be questions about it. It seems to be, even from the layperson, relatively easy to follow, but there are probably some questions.
So all the revenue and expenses in line up over expectation, and
yeah.
Most of the revenues we accrued or received, OMPF grant for the last amount of that grant will be getting last quarter, as well as the gas tax remaining amount will be receiving the last quarter of this year. Everything else we received it. Interest on the our checking out account is more than our expected budget. So and the revenue in the building department is quite lower compared to the last year because of the number of permits issued is lower as compared to the last year. But overall, if you look at the individual departments, revenue and expenses pretty much in the line of our budget.
Yeah, that's good. Because we had the CBO saying that it was sort of a cost neutral, and I noticed in your report that it seems a little different this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because there aren't as many permits. Yeah.
And the last couple of years, because of the COVID lot, there was a lot of construction going on, and that's why there was a lot of permit out. Once the COVID is done, then the permit number is way down than last 2 years.
Right. And I again appreciate the comments along the side. I mean, I think that's really important.
Mm-hmm.
It tends to be the ones that my eye is drawn to because the rest seem relatively stable.
Most of the capital budgets projects, they are done except the Hemlock Church and St. Stephen and the baseball field. Those are three, and the truck we just got it last week or 2 weeks ago, and then next 1 week or so or 2 weeks we will pay the balance of the month.
Mm. Good. So this is, I think, a good start, even as you say, there'll be more later, but we talked about starting budget discussions this year, and I know this year is winding down, but I think it's a good thing, certainly, if not in December, then January, this gives us a good groundwork.
Yeah, and that's what my plan is. Maybe I will start with the draft in January, and then we will go from there.
Right.
Because most of the background work is almost done.
Yeah.
It's only the fourth quarter, and then based on the fourth quarter, we will produce the 2024 budget. and the, again, CPI, I'm waiting for the CPI Consumer Price Index, which is going to be out in last week of November, you know, for the October. That's what the basis for the our budget too. So
right.
Once I get that number, then I can start my own process.
Okay. Do you have any feeling, inkling of where it's going to be? Or?
You know, it seems like, you know, it's going down. As of September, it's it was around 3.5, and chances are that will slowly it's going down. And as I mentioned in the my 5-year capital, that you know the next year it will hover around 3.5 or around 3.
Right.
And maybe in 2025 it will be around 2% or 2.5%.
Yeah. Back to more of a normalizing.
That's
effect.
Correct.
Yeah.
And they're already talking about, you know, there was a report yesterday that, you know, the maybe Bank of Canada start reducing interest in second quarter of the 2024.
Hmm. I also see very contrary stories too, and Mark Carney has actually commented on that too, which is and not about not going down and actually increasing. But anyhow, I'm not making a pronouncement. I'm just saying this is what I've read. So,
but then you know the our economy is already in recession because the last two quarters is a negative GDP and growth is you know stagnant and unemployment is up. Those are the pretty much numbers which
yeah.
tells you that you know the Bank of Canada achieved whatever he wants to achieve. So now it's a time to look at the interest rate and start reducing it.
Yeah, makes sense.
I hope you're right. I hope he's right. So.
Yeah, I'm also waiting for that because you know my mortgage is a prime rate.
Yeah, there you go.
So
that's what really hurts. So yeah.
Yeah.
I agree. Can I just ask, Roshan,
sure.
Sorry, I mean, if it's okay with the mayor, but on the pages, this, page one of the operating budget, the investment income that we've earned this year is literally $141,000 on our bank account, is that?
Yeah.
Okay. What kind of interest rate are they paying us on that account, and or what kind of balances do we maintain?
Prime minus 1.88, we get the interest rate, and the we roughly maintain a good balance. So
apparently, yes. Anyway, that struck me as just bizarre.
And that's what I mentioned in earlier, that you know it exceeded our budget expectation.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that's quite remarkable.
So
if we were able to keep the pool money instead of paying it all, it would have been a lot more, right? So.
And that's what I was hoping that when the the pool money.
Mm-hmm.
I was hoping that, you know, they will ask me the yearly, instead of, you know,
yeah.
paying lump sum,
yeah.
then I was hoping that I will earn more interest, but then
yeah.
it didn't happen.
Right.
Yeah. But it's still quite remarkable, in my opinion, anyhow, that's a great rate to be paid, too. So, frankly, I never saw anything like that in my whole banking life, paying prime minus anything for deposits, but...
That's what I'm saying, like for
yeah.
the individual us, like who pays the mortgage, it's good for us that the prime rate reduced, but on the other hand, the businesses or
sure.
the town or, you know, commercial people,
yeah.
they don't want to reduce the, they don't want to see the lower interest because the amount of interest they are earning on their investment.
Right, that's true.
Yeah, I mean, you win in some places and you lose in others. But really, huh?
Are there any other specific questions or you just accept this as a report? Mm.
Just accept it,
okay. Okay, call the question then. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried.
So another question was on, if I was to look anywhere in here, and I did take a quick look, the money that is going to be recovered from Craigmore, the $107,000, that doesn't appear as a line item anywhere in our budget, does it? Like, that money that the township has paid and not yet recovered, where is that in a budget document? Is it anywhere in here?
It's part of the our receivable because that's now sitting in the receivable and that's we need to receive from the people.
Okay.
So that's we need to collect. That's part of the financial statement. It's not part of the budget.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that's what I determined because I sure as heck couldn't find it. So anyway, okay.
Is there anything else?
Thank you.
Don't worry if there's anything else. For you.
He would know, I guess.
Yeah, we shifted if there is a
20.4.
Oh, okay, yeah. I guess you have to hang around a bit longer.
Sure.
So, resolution 23-692, moved by Councilor Dulac, second by Councilor Keckin, be resolved that Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar has hereby received report FD 2023-19, alternate CEMC appointment from Fire Chief Robert Morrison, and further that Tom Stillman be appointed alternate CEMC for the Township of McKellar. Discussion? All the question, all those in favor? None opposed, carried.
Are there any apparent costs to doing that? Does he just earn points? In other words, so that's just a bigger share that he would earn, or does that actually increase our cost to have another one?
That's just emergency management. He doesn't get any extra.
Any remuneration? Money. Nothing? Okay.
None of us do.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Sure. Item for next year's budget. Is that what we're hearing?
I don't think so. I don't think so. It's just something that we're required by the province to do.
Yeah. And resolution 23-693, moved by Councillor Haskam, second by Councillor Ryland, be a resolved that Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar has hereby received report FD-2023-17, placement of a dry hydrant for firefighting operations from Fire Chief Robert Morrison, and further that the installation of a dry hydrant into the flowing water area of Minerva Park, approximately 60 feet to the north of the cenotaph, be approved. Discussion?
Same question I just asked, is there a cost to this, to the getting Public Works to put this in? In other words, is it material? There's
very little material that needs to be
taken.
When they took one out that was on the Ball property, they were able to salvage quite a lot of it. The pump and everything at the bottom is still good, so it's just going to be the replacement of a little bit of pipe, and Public Works is doing the installation.
Okay. Good. Thank you.
But there is material, gravel that needs to be placed there, and tree that's going to be removed.
Any further discussion? All the question, all those in favor? None opposed, carried. Resolution 23-694, moved by Councilor Zulak, second by Councilor Keckinen, be resolved that Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar has hereby received report FD-2023-18, emergency plan changes from Fire Chief Robert Morrison, and further that the changes made by the Fire Chief and the emergency management plan are approved. Discussion? Call all the questions, all those in favor? None opposed, carried. Resolution 23-695, moved by Councilor Ryland, second by Councilor Haskam. Be resolved that Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar has hereby received report FD-2023-19, month end status updates for October 2023, from Fire Chief Robert Morrison for information purposes. Discussion? Councilor Peckin?
On page one, it's in the first, second paragraph, apparatus and equipment. Last sentence, it says assessment and repairs, or does it start before that? Yes. An assessment and repairs, hopefully just preventative maintenance, has been ordered for the radio tower, as this has not been done since we assumed ownership of the tower many years ago. I thought that there's a line item in the budget for for tower repairs, and that we've had it inspected and inspected on a regular basis, and that it's being painted at least once during the term of council that I've been here.
Yeah, it does ring a bell, although I haven't been part of all of this. I remember the first purchase of it from MTO. But I think I do recall, if I read the resolutions over the years, that there was some work done on it and a painting, but would have to search back through the records, I guess. According to the fire chief, he says there hasn't been any, but maybe he hasn't found the records.
Yeah, he's just not aware. And there might not even be documentation to even show it.
Because a tower like that, I would assume, would have to be inspected on a regular interval.
My understanding was, maybe it was in the report, I don't know, that somebody's actually, that was the whole idea in the first place of purchasing it, that other people would use it. And I thought Spectrum was on there as one of the
Spectrum uses that tower, and they pay us the rent for that, $23.
So it must be up to a certain standard code for them to continue to operate on it. So
and put equipment on there that adds weight to the structure.
And that agreement actually is going to expire next year, so we have to look at that.
Tower sites. It's a budget here, fire department tower site. Hydro, miscellaneous, and radio tower maintenance are in our budget.
So it's just a matter of finding the paperwork, I guess, if it exists. What was done, if it's a line item.
It seems like every year a certain amount has, well, I guess it would be the hydro for sure. But, anyways, so it is in our budget.
Okay, call all the questions. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Resolution 23-696, moved by Councilor Zulak, second by Councilor Kekkonen, be resolved that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby receive the September and October 2023 Chief Administrative Officers' Reports from the District of Parry Sound Social Services Administration Board for information purposes. Discussion? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Resolution 23-697, moved by Councillor Haskam, second by Councillor Ryland, whereas a letter was received from Waterloo MPP Catherine Fife requesting support for Bill 21, Fixing Long-Term Care Amendment Act, Till Death Do Us Part, 2022. Be it resolved that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby support Bill 21, amending the Residents' Bill of Rights set out in Section 3 of Fixing Long-Term Care Act, 2021, by adding the right of residents not to be separated from their spouse upon admission, but to have accommodation made available for both spouses so they may continue to live together, and further that a copy of this resolution be forwarded to Waterloo MPP Catherine Fife and Parry Sound Muskoka MPP Graydon Smith. Discussion?
It's almost like we need to do a survey of all these couples and who actually wants to get away from their spouse. Could be more want away from them.
Yeah.
After 50 years, give me a break.
No, you don't even have to be in long-term care. Maybe you could just apply to be separated, right? So,
oh, it sounds wonderful. Yeah. I'm just kidding, of course.
Yeah, this was brought forward at a Belvedere Board of Management meeting, and they said the Belvedere at Belvedere, when that comes arises, they try their hardest to get the people to be together, but when it's actually in print here, till death do us part, like, what are the legal complications if you don't have the space or the, you know, availability to put these people together? But right now they try their best to do that, but if it becomes law that you have to do it, it could be a problem.
Yeah, especially with Belvedere, as you say, it was never designed for that originally. But
we went through a similar situation with my in-laws. When my father-in-law passed away, which was in January 2 years ago, and they weren't in long-term care, they were in the Gardens of Parry Sound, which is a retirement home, and it's different, but there was continual problems. It's quite a complicated case, but there seem to be roadblocks to any organization being willing to, you know, have them share a room, and I understand, there must be a million logistical steps, because what if there isn't a room, right? How are you going to do it? But I support this completely, because I mean, I think whatever can be done should be done, and it should be a premise that that's a given, where a husband and wife are in a place that they can be together, except for morally. But anyhow,
even if they can't be in the same room, at least adjacent rooms, if they can.
Well, don't you want to
rent a
different
wing, maybe?
Different facility, maybe?
Yeah.
They're just going to leave.
All the question. All those in favor?
Even
none opposed, carried.
I'd never heard of it until I read this anyhow, so I'm going to think this.
Resolution 23-698, move the Councilman Zulak, second by Councilman Cuckinan, whereas an email was received from Kegwuk, James Bay, MPP, Guy Bergouin, requesting support for his private member's bill. Be it resolved that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby support the private member's bill, making it illegal for a vehicle to pass on the left side of a lane when it is marked with two solid yellow lines, and further that a copy of this resolution be forwarded to Muskegawak, James Bay, MPP, Guy Bergouin, and Perry Sound Muskoka, MPP, Graydon Smith. Discussion? Councilman Zulak. Don't ask me to repeat that.
I agree with this, but I thought that was the law.
Yeah, same here.
I thought when you went for your driver's test that, you know, you're not supposed to pass on a double yellow line.
Not supposed to, but
because
legally you can.
Lots of times when I'm going and people are passing me, and I'm thinking, look at these people. They're not supposed to pass, and they're passing.
And to think that all times you were actually legal and you thought you were illegal.
Yeah, when I took my driver's license, like way back when I was 16, I'm sure that that's, I've understood that ever since then, that you can't pass on a double line.
That's what I thought.
I could read this and go, really?
Because usually it's around the corner or something and people still pass.
My brother always insisted that that was true, and here's some proof of it anyhow, that you are. And it's like, that's just bizarre, right?
So you're leaving yourself open. When you were 16, they had cars then?
Well, we had, you know, like the Fred Flintstone vehicle, you had to pedal really hard. And, you know, so.
Call the question. All those in favor? No. We're getting too punchy here.
Too long.
Resolution 23-699. Moved by Councilor Ryan, second by Councilor Haskam. Whereas Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar passed bylaw number 2023-55, being a bylaw to regulate the use and operation of the Township Transfer Station on the 5th day of September 2023 after consultation with the Director of Operations. And whereas one of the changes to the new bylaw from previous bylaws is the shortened duration of the grace or free period for the dumping of brush and leaves from 2 months in the spring and 2 months in the fall seasons to 1 month in each of said seasons. And whereas some ratepayers have questioned the short notice period for the aforementioned change in the free or no charge times and associated costs, if those new times are not strictly adhered to, now therefore be it resolved that Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar for the 2023 year only hereby refund the monies to those residents who have paid for leaf and brush disposal between the time period from October 15, 2023 to November 15, 2023, the identity of whom to be ascertained from the transfer station attendance receipt book. And further be it resolved that further advertising be provided by the Township for the shortened time period stipulated in bylaw number 2023-55 and enforced for 2024 and following.